All right, we're going to take another look at the life of David, and the lesson's going to be on the path of disobedience. The path of disobedience. Notice what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 7 through 19. 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 7 through 19. Then said Saul unto his servants, "Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor." And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, "I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee." And the woman said unto him, "Behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. Therefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die." And Saul sware to her by the Lord. Isn't that wild? You're asking somebody to do something evil, something to have, demonic, and then you go, "Well, I'm going to swear by the Lord that I'm not going to do you no harm." I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? "As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing." And said the woman, "Whom shall I bring up unto thee?" And he said, "Bring me up Samuel." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. Now notice, I don't think she was expecting anybody. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." And the king said unto her, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" And the woman said unto Saul, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." And he said unto her, now why do you think they were ascending out of the earth and he wasn't coming down from heaven? Well, because heaven wasn't available back then. Sins haven't been paid for. There, when you look at the Bible, you'll see that there was, where Jesus, it speaks of him leading captivity captive. There was a place where like hell was divided into two parts with a great gulf between them. Those who were saved were on one part, and those who were lost were in the place of torment. And they could see each other, but there was sin had yet to be paid for. Sins were covered, but they were not paid for. And so when Jesus paid for the cross, he led captivity captive. He emptied out that place where the Old Testament saints were until the blood was applied on the mercy seat in heaven. Do you understand that? And so that's why he came up from the earth instead of coming down from heaven. And he said unto her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." Then said Samuel, "Wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Now, here we read of Saul's disobedience. You know, one of the things that should mark each and every one of us as believers is that we ought to be obedient. You know, there's a song that we sing around here once in a while, "Trust and what? Obey." You know, if we would do that, we would live lives that would honor the Lord and be pleasing to him. You know, so many times we get off track, though, and we go into disobedience. The fact of the matter is, we are to obey. And here we read of Saul. Now, he is contrasted with David. For David, for the most part, was a man of faith. He had a trust in the Lord, and he was obedient for the most part of his life. You know, but when you read about King Saul, you see his life was characterized by major disobedience. Now, the Lord provides for us a look at King Saul. And we look at King Saul, we ought to learn from his mistakes, amen? We ought to learn from people in the Bible, the good things they did and the things that were not so good. But we ought to learn. They are there for our admonition. And if it happened to them, let me tell you, it can happen to us. Now, from the book of Judges to the 8th chapter, 1 Samuel, 33 chapters in the Bible are used to bring us to the point when Israel selected its first king, and that was King Saul. Now, in the book of Judges, you see, judges, they would accomplish what God would have them to do and in the life of his people. Most of the time, it was warring against enemies that had invaded the land. Now, in these last few chapters, we have followed the life of David as King Saul pursued him, kind of like a wild beast. Now, remember, oftentimes we think we're warring against one another, don't we? Flesh against flesh, blood against blood. But you know, when you read about David and Saul, you see, David and Saul weren't warring against each other. David was learning to trust the Lord. And Saul was drifting farther from him. You know, we need to realize, you know, our battle is not with one another. The battle is a struggle to trust God, even in the midst when we're at odds with one another. Now, in the 28th chapter of 1 Samuel, we find things that got so bad in Saul's life that he had lost contact with God. Now, perhaps you've been there before. And, you know, I think all of us have. I mean, there's times when we read his word, it doesn't read us, it doesn't speak to us. And then there's times when we start praying, and you know what? Our prayers are going nowhere. And you know what? The problem is, it's not with God. The problem is with us. And there's some disobedience and some sin in our life that causes God to shut his ears and not speak to us, and we can't speak to him. Now, in this special case, when we read moments ago with this witch of Endor, to my understanding, God allowed the prophet Samuel to return and speak to King Saul. It wasn't somebody else. It was Samuel. Now, God tells Saul through Samuel, the reason you're in this mess, the reason your life is coming to an end is because you have not obeyed the Lord. You haven't obeyed me. Now, one thing that's really important in the Christian life is that we obey the Lord. You know, some of us don't think that our disobedience is that big of a deal. You know, there's so many areas in our life that we need to be conformed to the image of Christ and we need to be obedient in, and yet we dismiss some of it. And we think it as no big deal. But how many think it's a big deal to God? Yes. And you know what? Even sometimes we think, well, you know what, our obedience, you know, I'm not going to go all the way and obey, but I'm going to go halfway and obey. And you know what? Halfway obedience is simply disobedience. We are to obey what God has told us to do and not be halfway about it. Trust and what? Obey. For there's what? No other way to be what? Happy in Jesus. We need to obey. You know, it seems pretty simple, doesn't it? And really, the Christian life is a rather simple life. But it is a matter of us submitting to what God has said and just doing what he tells us. That's where the hard part comes in. Now, how many here have heard me preach on something time and time again, and you still don't do it? Now, you don't have to raise your hand. But you know it's from the Word of God, and yet you still fail to do it. And sometimes you just get mad. I've had people leave and say, you know, I'm tired of you talking about it. I'm like, well, why don't you get right about it? I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, if you go to another church, they ought to be preaching the same thing. You're not going to avoid it then either. Why don't you just get right? I mean, that's a pretty easy thing. And don't you think God wants us to live right? He's going to bless us for doing so? Why would you want to hold on to your disobedience? How is that benefiting you in any way? Now consider the path of disobedience. In 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 through 14, the Bible says this. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that hath a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Now the Lord says, Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord. You know, so many of us take the word of God lightly. You may even think, well, that applies to so-and-so, but not to me. Well, why doesn't it apply to you? We should esteem the word of God. We are to obey the word of God. And you know what? God doesn't take it lightly when we disobey him. You know, remember what happened when Saul, with the Amalekites? This is what I'm talking about, this halfway obedience. You know, he was told to destroy what? All their animals, all their people. I mean, even the children, the women, the babies, everybody. Wipe them out! Along with their cattle, along with their sheep, everything they possess, just wipe it all out. Well, he goes there and he wipes out the people, but he spares the king. And he spares the best of the cattle and the sheep. And then Samuel comes in and says, hey, why haven't you obeyed the word of the Lord? And what does he say? I have obeyed. And then Samuel says, hey, what are those sheep I hear bleating in the background? Why do I hear those cows mooing? What's that all about, Saul? And he says, ooh, well, we're good at this too. Now, who's in charge? Saul. He was the big boss with the hot sauce. But he points a finger at the people and said, you know what? They wanted to, spare the best so they could have something to sacrifice to the Lord. And what does Samuel say? You know, to obey is better than what? Sacrifice. Do you see that? Obedience is what really pleases God. Our sacrifices don't. But here, now, Saul obeyed partially, didn't he? But is that obedience? Not according to the prophet, not according to the law, to the Lord. He says that's disobedience. Now, because of his disobedience, his life was cut short. It came to an end. You know, for the wages of sin is what? Death. That's just not for the sinner, that lost sinner, but it also can something that can take place in the life of a saint. Have you ever read in, I believe it's in the book of Judges, but there was a prophet from Judah went to rebuke Jeroboam who set up those two golden calves. And remember, he's having this altar, he's having this big thing going on, this religious ceremony. And this prophet from Judah goes there, and he says, you know, the day is coming when Josiah is going to, a king from Judah is going to come here, and he says he's going to wipe this whole thing out. And in the meantime, there was a crack in the altar, and Jeroboam didn't like what the guy said. He stretched out his hand, and what happened? It got all shriveled up, right? And he says, oh, make my hand like the other one. Basically, that's what he said. Now, if I was that guy, I would have said, okay. But some people are nicer than I am. And but anyways, and then King Jeroboam, after he healed his hand, And he said, you know what, you come to my house, we'll sit down, we'll have a meal, I'm going to reward you, give you all kinds of stuff for blessing me, even though I'm doing wickedly. And he says, no, I can't go. You know, God told me, you know, to go here, do this, and return home. I'm not supposed to stay here. And so he starts leaving. Well, then there's another prophet in town, and his son saw what happened. He returns, they return to the old prophet that's there. And you got to wonder, why didn't God use that prophet who was already there? Probably because he was pretty much useless. And he said, tells his sons, go get him, bring him back to the house, you know. And then he brings him back in, and he says, you know, the Lord said you should come. The Lord said you should eat with me and have fellowship with me. Now, he's lying, isn't he? And then all of a sudden, boom, he leaves. And what happens to him? He gets killed by a lion, right? Now, all because he what? Disobeyed. Now, you know what? Every time I read that, I think, why didn't that old prophet get killed? You know, he's a lion dog. But you know what? God spoke to that young guy. And he told him what to do. And he failed to do what God wanted him to do. And so he was taken out. Now, think about that. I think that prophet was a pretty good guy, for the most part. But one act of disobedience and he was taken out. You know, sometimes we don't know where our disobedience is going to lead us. Sometimes we could get taken out immediately, but a life of disobedience, we're going to die some way, somehow. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be disobedient when I die. Now, if you think of somebody who had it made and should have been successful, that person would have been King Saul. I mean, you think about it. He was a good-looking guy. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was actually quite humble and meek, because when he was, they were going to make a big deal about him being king, you couldn't even find him. He was kind of modest, wasn't he? And humble, and you would think, man, this is a guy that God can use. You got to wonder what brought him to a place where at the end of his life he jumped on a sword. What happened? What went wrong? Well, everything started going south for King Saul when he became jealous of David. Jealousy. It's called the green-eyed monster, isn't it? You know, it has ruined many a friendship. Has ruined many a marriage. It's never been a blessing in any relationship whatsoever. You know, I often wonder why someone's jealous in a marriage when the other person gives them no reason to be. What is that contributing to that relationship? You know, a relationship is built on trust, is it not? And respect. And if you can't have it for the person you're marrying, do that person a favor and don't get married. Jealousy. Incredible, isn't it? But it happened after David killed Goliath. And then everybody's singing, David has killed his 10,000s and Saul his what? But thousands. Now, whose fault was that? It was Saul's fault. He could have put on his armor. He could have went out there. He could have asked God to help him. He could have maybe slain Goliath. But instead, you know what? He was a coward. He was supposed to be leading the army of Israel. Some guy that's not even qualified to be in his army goes out there and takes that guy down. Crazy, isn't it? You know, have you ever met somebody you haven't seen in years? And perhaps they were in church with you and they were growing and all of a sudden something happened. They got disobedient and they went down the wrong path. And after 10, 15 years, you run across them. It takes its toll on them, don't it? They're not what they used to be. And it's sad. You know, that path of disobedience becomes darker and darker the longer you tread upon it. And it becomes harder and harder for them to return. When we meet people, it's obvious if they haven't been living for the Lord, their condition. You know, each one of us are on a path. Either on a path of obedience to God, or you're on a path of disobedience. There's no telling where the path of disobedience will lead you. You know, there's some people that have been in church, that used to read their Bible, pray every day, be faithful to the Lord, and you know what? Their path of disobedience has led them far down to a place they never thought they would ever be. You say, oh, it ain't going to happen to me. Oh, you're special, are you? If it ain't for the grace of God, we'd all be in that shape. But I'll tell you what, you get on that path of disobedience and you stay on there, it's going to take you further into sin and ruin. And it'll take you farther than you ever dreamed it would take you. God gives those of us who are saved light in which to walk. Now we can choose whether we're going to walk in that light or not. It may not seem so wrong to take a step in that wrong direction. But remember that one step is the beginning of a long, long path. And that's exactly what happened to Saul. You read the story of Lot. Now I think his first mistake was not giving Abraham the choice. He should have had more respect for Abraham and honored his uncle who took care of him. But instead, you know what? He lifted up his eyes, saw those well-watered plains of Jordan, and said, you know what? That's a good place to raise cattle. I want to get wealthy. That's where a lot of Christians are. They're focused on their wealth and not on the Lord. And so what did he do? He pitched his tent, what? Toward Sodom. Now, did he know there were wicked sinners there? Of course he did. It was well known. But he pitched his tent toward Sodom. And you keep on reading, and he keeps on getting closer and closer, and finally he's in Sodom, and he becomes a judge at the gate, someone of renown. And yet the Bible says he vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Now, when Lot made that decision, how many think he knew he was going to be there? And he knew he was going to raise his kids there. He knew that his daughters would get married there. And he knew all the damage that could happen. No. I believe he knew they were wicked sinners, but I think he believed he could handle that. But it took step by step, and you know what happened? It wasn't as hard once he took that first step to take the second step. Now, the length of life is not as important as the sort of life we live. One can live a long life and make wrong decisions their entire life and just waste their life. But one can live a short life with the right decisions and make their life count. You know, this week at my father's funeral, the preacher said this about my dad. He said, you know what? He says he was not just a believer. He was a Christian. He made the time he had since he got saved count for Christ. Now that's important. What are you doing with your life? You ought to be making it count. You know, for me to live is what? And to die is what? Gain. That's how we all ought to live. I know Paul wrote that, but why can't we all be like Paul? He should not be the exception to the rule. The Demases ought to. What path are you on? Are you on the path of disobedience? You know, here's the thing. You step off that path just a little bit, right? Instead of going straight, you're just a little bit. But you know what? Over a course of time, that little bit sure adds up to a whole lot of it, doesn't it? We need to choose what kind of life we're going to live. We need to choose what kind of path we're going to walk on. You know, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with some of your heart. No, that's not what it says. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own what? That's where we get in problems, don't we? We rely on our own understanding, and we fail to subject ourselves, our minds, unto the Word of God. It says, in all thy ways, how many ways? All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy what? How many think he's going to direct us on a wrong path? He's always going to lead us in paths of what? Righteousness. Saul was on the path of disobedience, and God wasn't going to hear him. His life would soon be taken. His sons were going to die in battle, and all the glory that he once had would be gone, all because he disobeyed God. It is a serious matter to ignore what thus saith the Lord. Folks, we are to walk in the path of obedience. One obvious reason for walking in the path of obedience is the fear of God. You know, I've said this before, I don't believe people fear God like they used to. I mean, how in the world, you know, you look at all these Christians that are worldly and ungodly, and you got to wonder, you know, they got a clear testimony, you're thinking, what's wrong with these people? How can they live like that? Well, there's no fear of God in them. Now, I don't know about you, but you know what? When I was growing up, I had a fear of my father. Anybody else like that? Oh, yeah. And you know what? There were things I wouldn't do in his sight. You say, why is that? Because it wouldn't turn out well for me. And you know, I was always hoping he wouldn't find out what I was really up to, because it wouldn't turn out well for me. But here's the thing. We do have a Father in heaven, right? He is a God who sees all. And yet we go about thinking, you know what, we can hide this and hide that, not obey here, not obey there, and it's going to be all right. You know, where's the fear of his chastening hand upon our lives? Where's the fear of us being cut off and him no longer communicating with us? Our prayers not being answered. He's not speaking to us. Where's that fear? It doesn't exist. We need to fear God. Now think about that. Now is that the best motive for obeying God? No. And there's another motive for it. Is it a motive, though? Oh, yeah. You know what? I still don't do some things because I fear the Lord. Not because this flesh don't want to do them. But you know, another motive is, you know, doesn't obedience bring blessings? You know, I don't want those blessings to stop. How many want those blessings to stop? No, you don't. So you obey God because you want to be blessed. Remember, that's what Satan accused Job of? He said, man, Job only fears you and does what he does because you bless him like you did. And you put a hedge about him, and you've given him all this stuff. Let me take all that away and see if he don't curse you to your face. Now, for the vast majority of God's people, they do that. They would abandon God altogether if all their blessings were taken away. They wouldn't handle it well. But Job proved the devil wrong, didn't he? Job loved God for who he is and not for what he does. But the sad thing is, most of us love God for what he does for us and not because of who he is. But that's a good motive, isn't it? How many would rather be blessed and cursed. I'm one of those. You know, there's things you do because you want to be blessed, right? There's things you do because you fear God. But what do you think the great motive for obedience is? Love. That's right. If we love him, we will what? Keep his commandments. And here's another thing. We won't find him grievous. You know, when somebody tells you that they're a Christian and they find it hard to live the Christian life, there's something wrong with their love life. And they're telling you that. Now, they're not saying it in quite those words, but that's what they're really saying. You know, I don't love the Lord as I should, and life, you know, this living this Christian life is hard. Well, not if you love him as you ought. And maybe that ought to be our response when we hear people saying that. Because you know what? I've been living for the Lord, and my wife's been living for the Lord for quite a long time. We don't find it grievous, but a blessing. We wouldn't want to live any other way. You know, in the Old Testament story, you have Jacob. He goes to Paddan Aram. And he had to work for his wife, right? 7 years. And then he got duped there. He got the bad-eyed Leah, first of all, and then had to work another 7 years for his wife. But you know what? The Bible says it seemed to him but of what? A few days. Because of what? His love for her. He didn't think, man, this is a grind. Man, is this worth it all? Man, you know what? This is grievous to me. He didn't think that way. He was glad to do what needed to be done so he could get his bride. You know, we ought to love him because he first loved us. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with the motive of doing things and obeying him because we have a fear of God and we don't want to be chastised by him. And there's nothing wrong with obeying God because, you know what, we know obedience brings a blessing. But you know what the best motive is to simply love God and obey him because of who he is. Then the results of walking the path of obedience. Now, the Bible says God offers us an opportunity. And you know what? Life has its choices. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, the Bible says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known." Every one of us got that choice. We can choose to live for the Lord and love him as we should, or we can go our own way, become our own God, or go after some other God, the God of pleasure, the God of wealth, the God of popularity, you name it. But one will bring a blessing, and the other will bring a what? Then we see the rejoicing from walking the path of obedience. Every path leads somewhere. Doesn't it? The problem I have in life and the problem you have in life is the same problem. You know, every one of us look at life as some kind of short term. Now, if we're having a hard time with something, we get the idea that life is bad. Oh, it's awful. Because things aren't going our way. Right? We don't look at the long term. We don't look that those trying times can be a blessing to us. If we stay obedient, it can produce patience. It can draw us closer to Christ. It can knock off the dross in our life and we become a better testimony. There are so many good things that happen when things aren't going our way in our life. If we would just simply keep our eyes on the Lord and obey Him, good things will happen to us. How many realize that, you know what, those things usually don't last forever? God's mercies are new every morning. And this too shall come to what? Pass. Aren't you glad that bad times don't stay with you? I mean, sometimes it may. Your health may go south and it just stays with you. But is that anything to bring you down the rest of your life? There's still so much good in life that God blesses you with. But it's no time to turn from the Lord. No time to go your own way. You know, I'm sure there's someone here this morning going through a tough time. And you know what the devil does when you're going through that tough time? He says, man, God ain't good. Not to you. You know, He doesn't love you as he claims in His Word. Because if He did, why are you going through this hard time? Why is your heart broken? Why are you in sorrow? Yet all the while, God's trying to do something good for us. If you would simply obey the Lord as you should, He will bring you through whatever you're going through. 1 John 2:28 says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Now, every one of us ought to know what joy is, right? We've been saved. We know the joy of sins forgiven. We ought to know the joy of fellowship with Christ. We ought to know the joy of being with others who know the Lord. There's so much joy in the Christian life. But you know what? The greatest joy is yet to come. We're just getting a down payment down here. But you know when the greatest joy is going to be? Is when we're with Jesus. What a wonderful day that will be. Now, how would you like to be walking in the path of disobedience and then die and go to be with Jesus, or He comes in air for you and you go to be with Him? How would you like that? You know, if you're a believer, you're going to go to Him one way or another. I wouldn't want to go ashamed. So how is it with you? Is He going to be pleased with the life that you lived? Or not? You know, the world's philosophy is do everything quickly. Live it up. Have fun. Life down here doesn't last long. Go for the gusto. When people who think this way begin having a hard time, they never think those troubles will ever pass. Sad, isn't it? You know, I want to encourage you, if you're on the path of disobedience, that you need to seek God. Ask Him to forgive you. Ask Him to help you stay right with Him. Get off the dark path. Get on that straight and narrow path. Let His Word be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your what? And you'll find that you know where your next step ought to be, and it won't be in the path of disobedience. All right, we'll have some more in just a few minutes.